You are aware that God has blessed America.
Amen.
Amen. It would have been one more horrible thing for us to have a female. Ladies, I'm not against you. I'm just telling you how the book puts it. God said of Israel that women and children rule over you. That's a curse. Say amen right there. That's a curse.
Amen.
God knows what he's talking about. If you don't believe what I'm telling you, read the book of Isaiah, chapter number 3. And then go on to chapter 5 and read it as well. So it's a curse for women to rule. There's a place for them, but it's not in places of rulership of a nation, unless it's cursed of God. So God spared us for a time. I think some folks saw what she was and saw through the veneer and so on and so forth and said, we don't want that in our White House. If you wanted her, you need to check with God and see if that's what you would want. And she's a pervert, start off with. Everybody plus Bill knows that. Hello? And we've known it for years. That's why that crowd's out there walking on the street. They thought she's going to give them some more liberties. When this nation has convinced young people that they deserve a check from the government to pay their tuition at school. Now look up here at me. I paid my tuition, me and Uncle Sam. Hello? I didn't depend on you to pay it. Uncle Sam and I paid it. What they're talking about, and most young people have, you see, they need to do like this for just a minute. Let those BBs settle in the right hole in there and think for a moment. If they get free tuition, that means they pay for it the rest of their lives.
Right.
If they pay their tuition, they can probably get through it in 15 or 20 years and have it paid for.
Right.
Otherwise, they pay for it the rest of their lives. Plus, you and I, who labored hard to pay ours, have to pay theirs as well.
Yes,
I'm going to tell you what the old fellow said in the Baptist business meeting. I ain't for it. There's just some things that the government needs to keep its nose out of. And I hope and pray. And my brother said it this morning. Let me say it again. Let's pray for the man that God has put in there. Now you say, well, God didn't have anything to do with it. That's because you didn't get up this morning.
Amen.
If you think God didn't do this, it's because you was hit in the head and you was a young'un and you haven't recovered yet. Need to shake your head and get over it. God's in control of this thing. Now, he's given us a little grace for a short space. Let's enjoy it while we can, give him the glory, and pray for those who are in places of leadership over us. Now, if we'll do that, God will bless America. God will bless America. We're so far in debt, we'll never dig out in my lifetime or in yours for the most part. But it'd be good to see it start going away.
Yes, sir.
Chapter number 14 of the book of John. We're still dealing with what the book of John tells us of the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you that one of the greatest studies you'll ever do in your Bible is a study of the Holy Ghost. He is the Paraclete. The Latin word, that's the Greek word. The Latin word is advocate. Means the same thing. Has the overall same meaning. In verse number 16 of this 14th chapter. Now our Lord is saying this. Listen carefully. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Let me do that one more time. If you haven't found me, I'm in John 14, 16. I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. There are four thoughts I want to give you from what's before us tonight. I seldom in these studies outline it like this, but this just presented itself in such a manner to where I couldn't resist it. And these four things, first of all, that is that definite promise where our Lord said, I will pray. I wonder if we ever really learned the truth of John 17. When Jesus prays, He gets an answer. Not once in a while. Now, will you agree with me that all of our prayers do not get answered? Oh, yes. And James tells us why, doesn't he? We do it to consume it upon our own lusts. We pray for us when we ought to be praying for them. We don't even include them for the most part. It's just us. But Jesus prays. And when Jesus prays, the answer comes. And He says, I will pray. Do you suppose He gets an answer? Yes. Every time. Yes. Do you suppose He prayed? He said He would. Yes. The answer to that comes on the day of Pentecost, doesn't it?
Yes.
So we know that Jesus kept His promise. And we know that He prayed. Now here's what He says. I'll pray the Father, and He'll send you another Comforter. This thing is another one like myself. Another one just like Jesus. It is the Spirit of Christ that He sends to indwell the church. This marvelous truth is beyond just a statement. For when Jesus says, look back at the text, I'll pray the Father and He shall give you, He shall give you another Comforter. The surety of the answer to this definite prayer. It's going to happen. He shall give you. This is coming to pass. Now remember, Jesus is speaking to His disciples. This is before the coming of the Holy Spirit. But here is the promise that He's coming. And we'll see more of that if we have time tonight. But the promise is that Jesus will pray. And the promise is that the Father will send, shall send another Comforter. You're not going to be left alone. When Jesus says, look down if you will, in verse number 18, I'll not leave you comfortless. Beside that verse, write this word in, orphaned. That's what the word means. I will not leave you orphaned. You'll not be without someone of a heavenly sort to identify you as a child of God. Glory. When mother and father die, Gary, are you aware that we're orphans tonight? If your mother and father have passed on, you're an orphan. Make it of how old you are, you're an orphan. That means that they are no longer with you. Now Jesus said, I'm not going to let that happen to you spiritually. You'll never see a day that you don't have the Comforter with you. There'll never be a time that there won't be a heavenly witness to bear witness that you belong to the Lord God Almighty. Wasn't that good? Hallelujah. There'll never be a day when there's not a witness to declare that you're a child of God. This is not a bastard son. This is my child. This is my. I have claimed this one. He is a child of the King. Hallelujah. There is that practical sense in which the efficacy and the sufficiency for every occasion comes before us in Jesus praying that the Comforter will come. I don't know about you, but I think I could pretty well surmise that you are much like myself in the sense that we need Him all the time. Not just once in a while, but all the time. And we must be assured that He is sufficient for every need. This word efficacious is a bit outside most of our vocabularies, but it literally means that it is not only sufficient, but it is effective in your case. The Holy Spirit, when He comes according to the promise, He comes efficaciously. He comes capable of doing what He's sent to do. He comes with all the power, with all of the might, with all of the God there is in heaven and in earth below. He has all the power to bring forth that is needed in the life of His children. We're not standing out here wondering if He's going to provide. We're standing here wondering at how He does provide. We're seeing this thing come to pass, and as it comes to pass, we just look at it as He fills our little bushels time after time and assures us that He is capable in every case to supply our needs. You'll never see a time that He's not able. In the darkness and the desert, He makes a way. When there's sorrow, when there's shame, He takes it away. In every aspect of your life, the Holy Spirit has come to usher you through this circumstance. He is efficacious. What a comfort. What a comfort. Now, not only is He coming, but I want you to underscore in this last phrase, if you will, actually a bit more than that, that He may abide. You see that word? That word abide is the word meno. M-E-N-O. Meno. And it means to stay. Now here we come to what I want to, if I may, for a few moments, just talk about this thing of the display of His presence. In that Old Testament economy, you've heard me say this how many times, in that Old Testament economy, the Holy Spirit is with men. In the New Testament economy, the Holy Spirit is in men. Now, is there a difference? Sure there is. In this case, our Lord says that He will send that comfort, and I watch it again, that He may abide with you forever. And then He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. We'll get to that in a moment. But think with me along this line for just a moment. In this case, as the Old Testament saint has the Spirit with him, the New Testament saint has the Spirit in him. I want to make a statement here, and I want you to think about it. Now, don't shoot me, but just think about it for a moment. I would say that there is many a saint, a New Testament saint, who has the Spirit with him, but is not indwelt with the power of the Spirit within him. Have you thought about it? What I'm saying to you is that there are those who are born again. They belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. The witness of the Spirit is there to proclaim that soul. But there's no power within them to demonstrate the presence of the Holy Spirit. How many of us have looked upon a rose and wondered at its beauty? Now we can scientifically explain how all this comes to pass, but look at the wonder of how that little rose, the sun, makes its way into that rose and then demonstrates itself in the beauty of its color. That's how the Spirit of God works in us. The Spirit of God moves within us and then demonstrates His beauty and His power through us. The rain comes upon the land and it soaks the soil. Vegetation then soaks up that rain and demonstrates the presence of the rain. How many of us have looked upon a field after a thunderstorm? Oh, how much greener the grass is. How much greener the trees. You see, the rain, the thunder and the lightning have caused it to be fertilized, and all of this changes the color of the landscape. And it's all because the rain has soaked the soil. We don't understand how the Holy Spirit can come upon us. But when He does, He demonstrates Himself outward. We are a demonstration of the power of God within us. And if that is not being demonstrated, then I'm saying to you that the power of God is not in you. He may be with you, but is He in you in power? Is there a demonstration of the power of God in our lives? Are we like the rose depicting the absorption of the sun? Are we like the landscape depicting the absorption of the rain? Or are we just lackadaisically walking through this life waiting to go to heaven? Oh, listen, if you're a child of God, you ought to be enjoying the trip. I'll send you another comforter. Oh, I'm saying to you that He is not just joy, but He is joy. And that joy is demonstrated in the life of the believer. God's blessed us muchly so in the last few weeks in our services. And often we sit as though nothing is taking place. When the Holy Ghost demonstrates Himself in someone else, we ought to be wondering why He's not demonstrating Himself in us. You see, the movement of the Holy Spirit, that reality of Him indwelling us, cannot be hid. If you were a millionaire, you couldn't keep it hid. Somebody would know. They'd know by the things you do. Now, I've heard of people being able to keep it hid for years, but it finally shows itself. I'm telling you that if the Holy Ghost moves inside you, you are not going to keep Him hid. He'll demonstrate Himself. He'll display His power somewhere in your life. That display will come to pass. So the display of His presence within us. It's difficult to understand, but yet we know it's so. Thirdly, this thing of the duration of His presence. He said He will abide with you forever. Let me just say that there is a double positive in this thing, and I'm going to show you the triple side in a moment. But there's a double positive right there in that verse. Abide. The word abide means to stay. I've already told you that, right? And then He said, forever. So there is that double positive. Boy, I'm telling you, don't that give the Armenian a headache? How do you explain away this marvelous truth? Abide. Forever. But that's not all. Let's get the triple side of this thing. Look down at verse number 17, the latter part of that verse. For He, what's that next word?
Dwelleth.
That is in the present perfect tense. Now what does that mean? That means it is consistently happening. Now, that word dwelleth and the word abide are the exact same word. Minnow. To stay, Here now is a triple positive. God the Holy Ghost said it. God the Son said it. God the Father said it. Here is a triple seal upon your life. The Holy Ghost comes to stay. He comes to abide. He comes to dwell. He'll never leave you. Hallelujah. That's something to shout about. Don't worry about getting lonesome, honey. He'll be there in the morning. Glory. Now explain that away. Explain that away. Take all you can get together and try to explain away this marvelous truth. I'll tell you, I'd rather believe what he says.
Amen.
And know that the Holy Ghost is here to stay. And he's here to stay forever. Glory. My brother Gary said this morning in a list of other things, he talked about your mother-in-law coming to stay with you, and she sold her suitcase. Well, the Holy Ghost came to stay with you, and he sold his traveling papers, turned in his passport. He's not going anywhere until we go out of here. He's not going anywhere. What about the duration of this thing? Ah, listen, if you can't take comfort in anything else in the Word of God, surely you can take comfort in knowing that he's here to stay. Hallelujah. You're not going to wake up some morning and the Holy Ghost written you a letter and said, "Dear John." No, sir. It'll never happen. But he'll be there loving you, caring for you, blessing you, showing you Jesus along the way. Hallelujah. Threefold in just those verses. God knows that some of us are a little slow in understanding. He knows that some of us just can't pick it up in one pass. So he runs it through three times in these short verses and tells us that he's not going away. That the Holy Ghost came to stay, and he came to stay the greaseless way. He's not going anywhere. I have to worry about him sliding out to me. Hallelujah. I don't think it'd be out of order to type the mute and shout a while. Have we learned anything? Have we learned that once we come into the household of faith, God's Holy Ghost seals us until the day of redemption? He's not going anywhere. Now, oft times, and I've used this, my brothers used it, and I'm sure other preachers have used it as well because they've heard us use it. We talk about the jar sealing after we bring them out of the canner and set them out, you know, and cover them up, keep them getting too cool too fast, and after a while they start sealing. Well, that's not exactly the way this seal works. Even though the truth is there. But you remember how the kings and days gone by sealed something? They sealed it with their mark. Is that right? With their ring or their signet or something in wax. It made a permanent impression. That's what God did for us. He made a permanent impression. The signet, the seal of God the Father is in our hearts. That seal will never depart. It'll be there when you get to glory. As a matter of fact, it'll be there a million years from today. After you've shouted all of those years in glory, and you will, some of you finally learn to shout a little bit. I wouldn't mind if God just let me do a class for about 150,000 years on how to shout when you get to glory. Because some of you will never shout down here. I don't know how in the world you can sing about shouting in glory and you don't even know how. Y'all just try it out sometime. When the Holy Ghost moves down your way, y'all just try it out. Shout a while. Glory! Do a little holy dance. Enjoy God. You're not going to drive him off. Satan will make you feel like you're an idiot. But that's the way you know that it's the right thing to do.
Hallelujah.
When the devil tries to make you feel like you're an idiot. Huh? I'll tell you right now, I'd rather be an idiot for God than a scholar for the devil. The duration of his presence, forever, forever. Then there's something that most of us don't care too much about, but it's a marvelous truth of the Word of God. Look at verse number 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and it shall be in you. The discrimination of the Spirit of God. Say, well, everybody's going to heaven. You better check this book. You see, Paul said it very plainly. If you have not the Spirit of God, you are none of his. Is that right? And right here, Jesus said the world cannot receive this Spirit of truth that's coming. The world has no claim on the Holy Ghost. But you do. As a child of God, you do. Not only that, he has a claim on you. You think about the days when men would go out and stake a claim. All of you have seen a Western at least one time where they're staking their claim, right? Do you realize that the Holy Ghost has staked his claim upon you? Let me tell you how I know that. So Simon Peter said that ye are a peculiar people. That word peculiar literally means you've been staked out. It means that there has been a circle drawn around you. And God has served notice on the devil and said everything in that circle belongs to me. They'd stake out their claims, put their stakes at the four corners of their claim. And no one else was to come inside those stakes. Is that right?
That's right.
Because it belonged to the one who had staked the claim.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, glory.
Yeah.
The Lord God Almighty has staked his claim in our lives,
yeah,
on our hearts,
yeah,
on our very bodies.
Yeah.
We belong to him. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. The stake has been put down. And God has claimed us because we're inside the circle. And everything inside the circle belongs to him. Not to us, not to them, but to him. Glory! No, the world cannot receive because them staked out. If you'll just look real close, you'll see where he staked you out. Whew, hallelujah. I was just over 8.5 years old. We was having a revival meeting. Same place where my brother was saved. I was in the back row of the choir, Union Baptist Church, Hampton, Tennessee, singing bass, 8.5 years old. Son, don't you know I was a bass singer? I was probably singing high C in the bass row. The preacher preached. We started singing. Oh, do not let the word depart and close thine eyes against the light. Oh, sinner, harden not your heart. Be saved, oh, tonight. And right about there, the Holy Ghost picked me up, took me out of that choir to an old-fashioned altar. Stake to claim glory to God experientially. The claim was staked before I ever had a granny. But experientially, he staked that claim.
Yes.
And ever since then, I belong to him.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
The good Holy Ghost took up his abode and hadn't left me. I'll have to tell you that I've not always demonstrated Spirit that lives within. I've always known He was there. Always known His divine presence, no matter where I was. I remember questioning but one time in a very, very rough circumstance. And I did. I said, Lord, where are You? And Gary, less than 24 hours, I was out of there and gone. He staked a claim. He's declared everything inside that claim's mine. Yes. Devil, you can't have it. We're not like the world. No, no, no. We were once in the world. But even then, we weren't really like them. Because we were sheep amongst goats. Well, here we are tonight. Now we know we're sheep. We're amongst goats. A world that cannot receive what we know. I once kind of chided people for not being able to understand some truths in this book. But I learned that they can't understand until God reveals it to them. I didn't know it till God revealed it to me. Right? You didn't know till God revealed it to you. But once He reveals it to you, hell can't blow it out. Glory! The Spirit of truth that's coming to live, abide, dwell, and live in you. I love it. I love it. Live in you. I wanted to kind of magnify that word right there. Let me just say this. Live in you. Not just be there, but live in you. If there's life in you, it's going to show somewhere. Will you agree with that? Especially spiritual life. Now you just think about what I'm talking to you, about you. Listen. If life leaves your body, there is no sign of life about you. But if life is in your body, there is a sign that life is there. It may be the weakest of pulses. So, well, what about these folks that were dead for hours at a time? Well, what about that fellow that was dead for 3 days and three nights? I'd set you back on your heels, won't it? Oh, yeah. If there's life, there's a sign that you're alive. And if there's spiritual life, there's a sign that there's spiritual life down inside. Glory. The demonstration and the duration of this spiritual life. Church, we can't live without Him. And this church, be like churches across this nation, door nailed dead. 4 o'clock in the morning, dead. If it weren't for the spiritual life that He gives us. Oh, listen. Worship the Spirit for giving us life. Worship the Son for washing away our sins in His own blood. Amen. Worship the Father for sending them both in our direction, and who chose us before the foundation of the world to make us the children of the King. Thank God for His Spirit. Worship Him. Give Him praise. Adoration and glory, because He is God. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of our blessed Savior, by the power of Your good Holy Ghost, seal these words in our heart tonight. Let them not just pass away, but may Your Spirit speak thunder in our very soul. I pray that the revelation of the Spirit of God in our lives might become a reality. Oh, Spirit of God, we want not that You just be with us as a paraclete, but in us in us.